Got it.
Welcome to Binary Jazz. This is a podcast about things with people. It's about things.
No, it's with about people. It's not things.
It's not about things with people. It's about
people
things.
With things.
It is with people about things.
Oh no.
We got off the rails already.
I don't know this Wii stuff, man. You're on your own. Also, oh no, a cliff.
I'm here with my friends, Gary and Allison, and I'm Chris, and we're Binary Gary, Allison Plus, and Jazz Sequence on the internet. We're Binary Jazz on the internet at Binary Jazz, binaryjazz.us. Yes. Yeah. You can ask us questions. Nobody does, but you can. And we will answer them.
You say that's and people all. Are like, oh yeah, ask questions. By the end of the episode, they're like, fuck, why bother?
You could ask questions at the beginning of it. You don't need to finish the episode to ask a question. You can ask a question at any time.
If you have questions, you should ask them now.
We do have a Binary talk. Jazz contact. It's a YouTube video from Rochelle Butts.
No.
But it's a yeah. It's not B-U-T-T-S. It's B-U-T-Z.
Oh, hold on. I have to look up the name of some idiot running for Congress. But something.
I'm not going to click the link because I think that it might. Well, I'll click it later, but I will make sure that it isn't an incognito window.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
This commercial I happened to see yesterday for Ted Budd.
Ted Budd?
I lost sight. That's what I thought, but it's Ted Budd, double D.
That's Theodore Budd to you.
Yeah. Oh no, he goes by Ted because he is running for Congress. In the
grand tradition of other Teds.
Awful North Carolina Republican Congress people. I mean, like, the commercial started and it was like
was there a rifle in the first 10 seconds of
yes.
That?
Yes. Oh okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a 30-second commercial. I don't think we made it 10 seconds before there was a rifle.
Excellent.
We hit all the checkpoints. high gas prices, border, right? Culture war, gun control. Oh, and the worst president of all time. Yeah. I mean, in like 30 seconds. It was baffling.
The worst president of all time, and he wasn't speaking of Donald Trump.
Huh. No, it was...
it was Millard Fillmore. Yeah.
Was it Millard Fillmore? What can you imagine? I should start my own congressional campaign here, and
why not?
And just call it like weird historical stuff. Yeah, I don't have time for that crap, and I don't have any interest to entertain conversations with my constituents.
I could see you being on like a city council.
That's how it's. That's the gateway drug.
Yeah.
That's the gateway. Be like the person that would show up.
Gateway
like
drug to politics, a city council.
Full of
I thought it was word camps.
And milk and sit there and eating my frosted mini wheats while someone carries on about something stupid. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is the one thing. The one thing.
Just one.
I do. There are a lot of, damn it. I'm gonna have to Google and see what.
There's a lot of odd damn it.
There's a lot of people in the city that I have a lot of empathy for, who have been like, you know, given a raw deal. Wow, mm-hmm. I even sound like a politician. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just Google deal. This right. Let me get this out of the way. Right. You can keep going on.
No, we definitely want to hear the engaging content of Gary doing a search on his laptop.
Yeah. Let's see.
Like the musing.
Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Do 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 do
do do do. Well, that's the current list of council. What are the requirements? I'm sure that I'm.
You're eligible. If that's what you're looking at, I can tell you right now, Gary.
I don't. Yeah. It's like maybe even 6 months residency. I don't think that there's a, you're definitely eligible.
It's probably just you own a home in the zip code.
That's probably true. Yeah. It probably doesn't even require residency.
Yeah. I'm too late for this year though, I think.
I think you have a lot on your plate.
I always do.
And that's a good
excuse. I have
excuse.
A styrofoam plate with like a lot of like the six or the five compartments that are on it.
You have to keep it separate.
Want that stuff to mingle?
Yeah, compartmentalize. No,
that's not true. That's not true. I do often have a lot on my plate, but more and more I'm like, nope, don't want that. So.
Well, the way that this often works.
What a thrilling intro. My bad.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's on me.
It's been a while.
We're all just doing the best we can.
It's been a while.
It hasn't been a while. It's been 2 weeks.
It's been a while.
And you forgot after 160,000 episodes or whatever how we do this?
Yeah, well.
That was accusatory. I didn't mean it.
No, I mean, I think it's been a while.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
And
that sounded rude.
I think it's been a while, and therefore our intro is a little off kilter, perhaps.
Well, I do have a topic.
Yeah. So yeah, I was gonna get into that. So the way that this typically works is Allison brings us a topic that Gary and I have not heard or know about, or we have not discussed this previously, and then we see if we know what the topic is, under what it means, the existential. I don't know.
Gary, I heard that sigh. Okay.
What's
I don't think it was inaudible.
And if we don't know what it is, then we bullshit until we are told what it is. That's how it works.
I might know this one. I say that every week.
Yeah, you say that every week. Sometimes we do, but.
I do appreciate how much faith you have in us. And then I don't know why.
This one feels like it has potential.
Okay.
Sing master one word. Sing like I'm singing.
Yep.
Cantara.
Exactly what you would think.
Sing master notation.
Gary's mad at me right now.
I don't know what it is, and I feel like I can describe this thing having no idea what it is. And probably be completely wrong. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Yeah. Sing master notation is a way of showing the, it's for music, obviously. And it is a way of showing the way the melody flows without having to use like a staff. So whatever the root tone you start with is as a group, then the sing master notation uses that as the base and or the root of the entire piece and shows how all of the parts would move in relation to that note up and down all the way through without having to take into account key signature. Yes.
I guess our work is done here.
I was going to say
I'm so that, confident that that's correct that like I will not entertain any other answers.
I was going to say that Sing Master is a piece of software. Mm-hmm. And Sing Master notation is the specific musical notation that the Sing Master software creates. It's a really boring definition.
Uses Comic Sans.
But I mean, but it's like, you know, it's one of those music sheet music sort of apps, and called Sing Master, and the Sing Master note. It's just this particular style of writing music.
So it's like a GarageBand competitor.
Well, GarageBand doesn't give you sheet music. Yeah. Yeah.
It can these days. Can yeah. It? If you do the piano score, yeah, you can
fancy.
Convert that to
really?
Score to
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm an expert in GarageBand apparently.
I haven't
used it
more.
In years, but I do know that you can pull out both a MIDI file and create a PDF of the like a MIDI score.
That's really cool.
But I would kick that over to an app called MuseScore, which was like a open source version of Finale, but apparently there was some big stink like a year or two ago with MuseScore. I'm not sure what it was, but I wasn't really actively writing or transposing or doing anything weird with instruments that would require like a musical score. So I don't know what I use now.
There's a Twitter account. There's a Twitter account that I follow.
There's a few of them.
Which is like, now I need to find it to get it right. It's like, who am I following? Threatening Music Notation.
Oh gosh, yes, I've seen that and I love it.
And there's a lot of stuff. So one of the things that comes up a lot in going through the history of threatening music notation is that there is a particular app that a lot of people are using that's also like a social app. And so like some of these threatening musical notation, musical scores will be coming from this app specifically, which is good because then like particularly when it's like something super chaotic, then you can actually go there and it'll play it for you.
Oh,
when you find it's chaotic, like can you just not, you can't sing it in your head and that's why you go to
Mean like it's a page full of notes that don't really have meter or time signature at all, just sort of overlaid on top of each other and just like
why would you want that?
Because it's fun to look at, I guess. I don't know,
this is chaotic good.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, like chaotic neutral, but
okay. I'm sorry.
There's, yeah, for example, there's a threatening music notation snippet here from 6 hours ago today, where it has a forte to, I don't know, the three forte version. It's not full forte, it's some fullest full. Fortissimo. Great. And it says the notation is just go full ape mode from here onwards, okay? So it like crescendos into fortissimo and then you go full ape.
Silly.
And then there is a video of said.
I need that on a t-shirt. I no longer care for this. No longer care for this.
I would wear a purple shirt that said that in black text in Comic Sans.
That's not very accessibility friendly.
I think if somebody were close enough to read my shirt. Anyway, yeah, but like tiny right here.
It's like,
and underneath in the even tinier front it says go away. Oh man.
Yeah. Right there with you.
I can definitely vouch for threatening music notation though. It's great. And what's also good about threatening music notation is just a whole bunch of like threatening music notation fan accounts.
Really?
That will troll threatening music notation. So there's one that's called threatening music notation, and then there's one called like romancing threatening music notation, and then there's another one that's threatening music notation.
Oh, come on.
So it's threatening to the
threatening one.
Threatening, yeah. It.
Humans have so much time on their hands.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And this is why we don't need to work 9 to 5.
Yeah. Right. So we were talking about Not Vermilion Borders. That was last week. Singmaster. Okay. Yeah, it's just you know what it is.
Singmaster, I explained it.
Singmaster is a circa 1950s like machine. Basically a microphone.
God, I think you're right.
Basically a microphone. But it was called a Singmaster because everything from the 1950s was called something master.
Like a player piano.
Sure. Yeah.
You put it in reels.
Yeah. And
you could
and
write Singmaster notation, which were printed. It was like a punch card system.
You mean?
Do you have punch cards?
What's happening? Dear listener, Chris is doing something in the background and we don't know what it is.
I'm about to go on eBay and buy some punch cards to put on my wall. eBay.com.
No. Oh no. Dear listener, Chris has now dropped something on the floor.
I want some punch cards. Whoa. I want some that are punched though.
Welcome to the ASMR. Chris unwrapping things.
What do you have? That's punch tape. That's ticker tape? Oh no, this has nothing to do with.
It's so whimsical, it hurts.
Can I make a
the Wes Anderson episode of the pod?
Oh no, we need a much better like camera angle for that, I think, or at least I do. Can I recommend a show on Netflix if you've not seen it? Is a show called Magic for Humans, and I can't remember the magician's name, and I can't remember the episode. But there's one episode where his mother died of Alzheimer's, and he does this episode where he's like talking to her and he's talking about this concert that they went to, and she liked the song. It was Jason Mraz, and so like the song I'm Yours, and he had the tickets, her ticket, his ticket, and he like magicked them back together and then like hole punched them and played them through like a little player like that, and it played I'm Yours, and his mom was singing along with it, and it was just the most adorable thing, like in the midst of like, you know, silly magic tricks, and it was lovely. Yeah. And just a piece of humanity right there.
So that is a little music-y box, but it has puncher tape, and you're talking about punch tape, and so Singmaster.
Yeah. Okay, well.
However, this is called a musicale, at least that's what it says on the little.
It's a brand name. It's like the difference between Kleenex and tissue.
But yeah, you look inside and it just get a little.
Adorable.
Yeah, metal reeds of different lengths, and I love that system.
I did not make it. It was a gift. But it comes
not on
with,
your birthday, even. That's the funny part.
It was just from a while ago. It comes with some tape. And the idea was that you can punch your own music, which I have not done.
That feels like a lot of pressure.
It does. Yeah. It's especially since it's like it's a physical thing. And I feel like whatever it is that I decide to put on one of these, it should be good.
No, it's got to be creeped by Radiohead.
Story of my childhood life is getting really cool craft kits or DIY things and then never using them because there was too much pressure.
What if I did?
What's interesting about this system is if you look at the happy birthday thing, that I just played, it actually has, I don't know if you can see.
Oh, yeah.
It actually has like notation on it and the staffs and stuff. So it does actually align with a standard musical scale.
Okay. So yeah, I want you to play Creep next week.
Nope. I did.
Song you have to cover on every instrument.
I did have a thought of like putting the end of is it Closer? That at the end goes doom, 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 doom. Yeah, I think Closer. Dur, 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 dur. I was thinking that that would be the creepiest thing I could put on this, but it's probably many other things that are creepier that I could
put on.
I think
a lot of things will sound creepy on that.
Yeah.
Can you hear that by chance?
What was it?
Rhonda has been practicing French horn recently. She hasn't played for like 20 years.
Wow, that's a big deal.
It just makes me so happy.
I'm whispering now.
I know. I don't know why I'm whispering. I just don't want to like break the vibe. I'm just.
If I go really slow, maybe this will be.
Can you play Upside Down?
Maybe.
Why are we not doing that?
Why are we not doing that?
Well, now that it's in, I can't take it out without playing through the whole thing again. Do.
Yeah, too fast is creepy, and too slow is creepy as well.
Are we going to get DRM'd for this?
No, or this not is not free. Oh,
yeah.
I don't think it is. I think that there's a license on it. That's why you don't hear it on TV shows, right?
Happy birthday? Oh. You Google happy birthday, and you'll have a million people, search on YouTube for happy birthday, and you'll have a million
Oh, it is adults. In the public domain.
Yeah.
It was declared invalid in 2015. So I'm not wrong, because before 2015, you had, yes, it was a, you couldn't use it in like television shows and stuff.
But now it's free range, baby. Kind of a nice. I think I prefer it.
I think I do too. So glad we're doing this experiment. Wait, is that backwards?
Yeah.
Can you flip the tape over after this and play it forwards, but upside down? Thank you.
Yeah, that played all the nice notes. Need to play the...
That's why I think upside down is going to be really like dissonant and interesting. And maybe not dissonant, because the interval should still be reasonable, but maybe minor. This should be fascinating.
It's not going to be minor though. It's all major keys. Yeah, this just feels like a little unresolved.
Well, for my next birthday, I'll just request that everybody sing it backwards.
Yes.
But bring cheesecake.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on down there. Can you hear that? No?
Nope.
Wow. Lab children, French horn.
So that's the Sing Master, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not a Sing Master.
It's what a Sing Master would sound like.
It's a knockoff Sing Master.
Well, what I was thinking was that it would be like one of those stupid, like fake, like, I don't know. It would be a toy now, right? But in like the 50s, it would be like latest technology. But it's like... basically just a microphone that has its own sort of built-in like amplifier, but it doesn't actually plug into anything. It's just sort of it's a Sing Master. It's what you would do for you know, karaoke in if you did karaoke in 1956.
But you would have to like wax your mustache first.
Sure.
You said what year? 19 what?
I said 56.
Yeah. Yeah. Famously, it wasn't until 58 when women were allowed into karaoke places. So. How funny would that timeline be if karaoke was a thing back in the 50s?
They're like, we're just getting started, but this seems like a good idea. The little catalog for karaoke would be like 10 songs.
It would literally be like is it Victrola, like records? Mm-hmm. It just had like the title like across the top. It was just, you know, everybody knew the words because, I mean, it wasn't that big of a catalog. Sing Master notation.
Yeah. Sing Master notation.
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, I don't know that we have a lot. Like I feel like we're coming up to the end of our brains for Sing Master notation.
The end of our brains. Oh, it's like the end of the sidewalk. So Sing Master notation is named for David Sing Master.
No, that's wrong. Love not a person named Sing Master.
Music. So good. Yeah, keep going.
He's a mathematician. And
oh, great. Yes. That's even worse.
With a bunch of things, but he's also known for Sing Master notation, which is the notation he came up with in the 70s for how to solve a Rubik's Cube. Yeah, so like it's like F1 means this block and blah blah blah, like all the different things, and no one had really ever done it. And he wrote a little pamphlet book that was the first published.
Oh, we might even have that solution. Book.
Yeah.
Because we have a really old
and he looks exactly like you would want him to. that's I don't know, like
aviator frames.
I'm gonna drop it in the chat so you can all see his Wikipedia page.
Yep, that's what I was hoping for.
Look how happy he looks. Exactly like you would want someone who was into the cube world to look. Like I was like, I would like a math teacher that looks like this.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a person that gets you excited about whatever they're teaching.
Yeah.
Like, just never loses, like, just the joy.
I'm like, how are you so sparkly when you teach math?
Right. Right.
So, I've been trying to add some final stuff into...
Gary hates this segment.
Into the podcast. And since we don't get questions, I feel like we should still answer questions to encourage people to send us questions, because, you know, that way. So this comes from a list of stupidest questions submitted, people asked in Quora. There's a bunch of them. But what I wanted to ask...
I'm gonna submit questions.
There's a bunch of these that are really good, but this was one that I think that we could probably answer.
You would think that the pain of this one would be enough to spur me forth to like writing questions onto our website.
Yeah, Gary, get on it.
We'd be wrong.
This one I do think that we could probably address this particular question. It's during airplane turbulence.
That's the question.
No.
Okay. I always have to check and be sure because you've dropped those before. Yep. The answer's yes. Airplane turbulence? Yep.
Yes. True.
Absolutely.
During airplane turbulence.
Yeah.
How do atheists keep calm?
They don't.
I mean, like,
it has nothing to do whether you believe in something. You're gonna die.
I actually think my answer is science. Like, yeah. Understanding, like, you know, this machine is built actually to stay in the air. The turbulence is just what the air happens to be doing outside.
That's probably how you stay calm.
Yeah, I want
to be
generally...
sitting next to Gary during turbulence.
We I think we were set to record on a Friday, the Friday that I took my ill-fated flight. I did not die. I'll cut to the chase. I took my ill-fated flight where the engine was like leaking oil under the windshield, and we had to put down early. And I was like, I can't record. I'm sick to my stomach. So perhaps that's not a good example of
We had really bad turbulence one flight, and I was so convinced that I was like, this is the worst turbulence I've ever been in. And then I was just like, what do? I do nothing but continue to listen to my music. And then I was like, but what do I want to be listening to when we finally go? And then so I was curating
playlist. A plane is crashing playlist.
I was like, I can't just be listening to a podcast. Like, I gotta be listening to something that's like meaningful or like,
oh, I have not so curated plane... my own death by airplane playlist.
Yeah, I'm the worst person to travel with, FYI.
That plane, before it was leaking oil, like about, I didn't know this at the time, before it was leaking oil, like 3 weeks earlier, they were in flight and ended up having to put it down in a field because. Mm-hmm. Of like a missing cylinder. I mean, the cylinder was there, it just wasn't firing. I was like making my hand like this, like everybody knows like what a cylinder looks like in an airplane, but it turns out I don't. So I don't, just like this thing, I guess, these drums, I don't know. yeah, so I learned that after the fact. And then 2 days later, I was supposed to get a flight back on that same plane from Tampa to Jacksonville. And we got up above the clouds and it started making that noise again. And the pilot and co-pilot were like, nope. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good with nope. Good with nope.
I'm all about trusting the experts.
Well, and then we got we're coming down below cloud cover and they're like, keep your eyes peeled because we need to find the runway so we can get back. So everybody help us find the runway when we get back below the clouds. Wow, this is intense. I mean, it's smaller than my car, honestly. And I've got a little Toyota Matrix. So it's tiny. It's tiny, tiny. Yeah, it really is less volume than the car internally. It's fun to go up in. Every little gust of wind, a bird burps and you're like, wee,
I like how in the video, on Gary's video, as he did the wee, as if the bird burped and shook the plane, his whole camera also shook because his laptop is presumably on his lap. So that was an excellent addition to that. Yeah, thank you, Gary. I'll read one more from this list because that one was pretty good. This is an important one.
Critters to the park, and I said, "Can you take the kids too?"
This is what?
Rhonda said, "I'm taking the critters to the park." I said, "Can you take the kids too?"
Yeah, yeah. That's not a question that is for the wider audience. This is a good one for the wider audience. I think that there's a lot of some target demographics that we might be covering by this particular question. It says, "I want to be a good." Yep. Polite vampire. From where should I start?
Blood banks. That's my answer. That's pretty succinct, right?
I think that the crux of this question is you want to be a polite vampire, so asking,
yeah,
permission, consent. Yeah, consent is probably the baseline there. If you want to be good and polite, then
and there are totally people out there that are into it. So
yeah, pretty much just ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. For all the vampires that listen to this podcast,
yeah. Or beginning starters.
Starting, yeah, Jeez. Starting out vampiring.
Oh gosh,
Gary, you look like you have something you would like to share.
Gary's going to submit questions next week because he hates these.
Please share with the group.
I'm the most easygoing person in the world. I don't know why I find this so frustrating. I just I'm sorry, I'm having internet problems, shut my computer. Or just I'm having internet problems and sit it down and walk away. And how do you say he's having internet problems? The problem is I don't want to be on the internet right now. That's my problem too.
But work is requiring me to be on the internet. So I don't want to be.
I think the trick is to lean into it.
If I'm being honest. Oh, yeah, let's just lean. Right.
What does that mean?
Lean well, into woman, the questions.
I'm told to lean in quite often. So.
Yeah.
Why is everything so terrible?
I don't know.
Oh, we haven't had this episode in a while where I
oh, good.
How terrible everything is. I mean, that's one of the stuff to do it.
Now for the segment, Everything is Terrible, starring Harry. Are there silver linings that you're able to find in the Everything is Terrible?
Yeah, I mean, yes, there are. Yes, there are. Yesterday, Charlotte was singing The Ants Go Marching One by One, and she could only remember the first verse. So the little one stops to suck his thumb. And then she couldn't remember whatever came after that. She would just go, boom, 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 boom. The ants go marching one by one. And it was the most adorable thing. And Ron and I just sat there on the couch. Just listening,
that's nice.
It was just so lovely and tender and adorable. And she was just coloring, just singing to herself and boom, 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 boom. And didn't resolve it and then would start the next verse. It's just magical. Just magical. There's a silver lining. I know that you all are not meat eaters. Yesterday I started with an entire chicken and in the morning, well, like sort of morning, like a little before lunchtime, and got all the way to like chicken and dumplings. So used the everything left over and made like chicken broth and dumplings and everything. So just like from scratch, and like eating food from scratch that was previously like, here's some ingredients that together are just like, I don't know what I'd do with that. And like to have a meal come out of it was really satisfying the family, even though half of them are like, nah, that's not for me. I also did we did like a spinach and broccoli. Katie likes any vegetable with a lot of cheese on it. So, okay, that's legit.
That's
so
fair. We did,
yeah, spinach and broccoli with like, I did like three kinds of cheese on it. And that worked out really nicely too. And like the top layer of cheese got like that like tiny bit of crust, light brown. Actually, I'm going to have that as a snack after we're done here. So that's a silver lining in the midst of. So I started watching a show on Netflix.
It's good that we've got 1 minute and 50 seconds left right as you're launching into it.
Yes. Well, not a show. It's a movie. And it's about the World Anti-Doping Agency and I'm sure I remember the name of it. But there is a Russian scientist involved in it. And this was filmed back in like 2018, 2019. I have no idea why Netflix was like, based on the other crap you've watched, maybe you'll like this. I don't know. And so they threw this one. I'm like, sure. So we made it like an hour into it last night. And right before the Olympics, when like the Russian lab was shut down, this guy like who was working with this U.S. cyclist who was trying to prove that all cyclists are blood doping and aren't caught. And I'm still kind of nursing a broken heart from the Lance Armstrong thing, honestly. This guy like fled from Russia while they were shooting this documentary, and like the documentary changed from like this cyclist trying to like beat the doping system to like actually housing like someone who can't go back to Russia for fear of his life. And then I went to bed right then. And it's
that's
like
not a good time to end
a
thing.
Sort of palate cleanser.
Yeah,
I did, but it was getting late, and I was like, I have to finish this tomorrow. It was late, like 9:55. But the whole undercurrent that I was viewing this through was like there wasn't any point where we didn't think like Russia was like a bunch of assholes, like in the last, you know, 20 years. So, I guess I should couple this with, the CEO of my company does this podcast, called Three Things. I actually should link for this because I think I actually am bringing like decent content to the show.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.